The third annual Rose Exposed returns to the Rose Wagner on August 23rd, featuring works created that day with proceeds going to the Road Home. Visit arttix.org or call 801-355-ARTS.
I'm Dan Nalen, and this is Slug Sound Waves, the official podcast of Slug Magazine in Salt Lake City, Utah. Slug is an acronym for Salt Lake Underground, and it is one of the oldest indie publications in the United States, distributing free monthly issues about music, art, action, sports, and subculture. In this episode, we get down and dirty with some of the gents from the Geek Show podcast. The Geek Show podcast, as if you didn't know, is a local geek-centric show based right here in Salt Lake City that originally started as small segments on founder Kerry Jackson's morning show, Radio from Hell, on X96 Radio, and the spots featured himself and various friends and experts talking about all manner of geek news and subject matter. In the spring of 2008, Jackson turned the show into a podcast with the help of a producer, bringing in friends like Shannon Barnson, Lee George Cade, and the late Jeff Michael Weiss as panelists to contribute to the weekly recordings of the Geek Show podcast. Over the course of the show's run, they brought in other panelists who have been in for short periods and others who have become mainstays, such as Slug's very own Jimmy Martin, who joined in 2010, and local comedian Jay Whitaker, who's been on board since 2013. Slug's office coordinator and podcast producer, Gavin Sheehan, the man behind the boards for this very episode, sat down with Jackson, Martin, and Whitaker to talk about the show's history and its longevity.
At the time we're recording this, you're 6 years and a quarter.
Six and a quarter.
How's it been running the show this long? Did you expect it to go this long? Like, was there a plan to have this show go this long? Or is it just a fluke like you thought, this will be a fun project and it managed to last?
Honestly, it's evolving slower than I wanted it to. I wanted video capability within 3 years. But I work for a corporation, and that corporation is run by old white guys, and they didn't understand. When is your podcast on? You know, that's the kind of questions I'd get. There was a lot of you're on your own kind of thing. But when it was successful, they were more than happy to claim it as one of their children, you know. So there were quite a few years where it just stagnated in this swampy-ass water, just festering and mosquitoes and shit. But it gained a following. It continued to get more downloads. And now we're owned by a guy who I think gets it. He's building us a new facility. He hasn't included necessarily a Geek Show-specific kind of place, but a place where we can be. And other podcasts can be that are being done by the company. So we'll see where that goes. I'm hoping that it works. I have a feeling, though, that we'll be continuing to be in the basement quite a bit because the place is also a nightclub and a restaurant. And, you know, when they can let us have it for 4 or 5 hours, I don't know when.
Jimmy, you joined in 2 or 3. Jay, you came in last year.
Right.
How was it for the two of you kind of joining this thing that was already in progress and then contributing to its success as you went along?
When I joined in, I don't know, it kind of just clicked. I don't know. Like, I came in and I wasn't even supposed to be on the show, and then Derek had to go to a baptism. I always remember that. He had to go to a baptism.
Is that what it was?
Yeah. And thank God for that baptism, because I got on the mic and I haven't been off since. It always just kind of felt right, in my opinion.
And it's funny because we've had quite a few guests come through the basement. I've told them when we get started, I say, look, I'll do what I can to throw to you when I can, but it's swim with the sharks in there. You've got to step in and step up. I can't always be there to help you. And there were some who were with the show for a while who felt like I wasn't trying hard enough, and I kept telling them, no, you got to try harder. You got to step in there and you got to be that big personality. It's kind of tough in that room full of big personalities, but you got to try. The group we got now is so solid.
But how was it for you coming in? Because you've hit 1 year as of April.
Right, and it's to be honest, it's probably been one of the best things that ever happened to me in my entire life. And I can comfortably say that because...
I'm so sorry.
Well, it's just been fun. I have some great friends and like family. I mean, we've had some interesting incidents over the past year and a half.
That,
but we've definitely grown and progressed. And I think it is intimidating, like you said, to get in there and swim with the sharks. I guess I'm a shark and by nature. I guess
you are.
I'm more of a... I think I'd be more like a tiger shark, you know, like a nice little cool racing shark.
Or perhaps you'd be that sassy shark.
Or perhaps sassy shark.
Perhaps a mako.
Mako? Yeah, Mako. Yeah, Mako's badass. Remember Street Sharks? That shit was awesome.
You just want a tattoo on a shark.
Jawsome. Remember they would say that? That was a catchphrase. No, Jawsome.
Because Jaws terrified me as a kid. My teacher was like, you're having nightmares. You should study sharks and you won't be afraid of them. No, it taught me what amazing killing machines they are.
Taking sports and, of course, radio from hell out of the equation, I can't think of another media entity in Salt Lake that's had as much of a fan base as you guys, because let's think about it. Geek Show says hey, Blueberries, the now incarnation of Dat Asto. They've all kind of entered the local vernacular and have become a part of the local culture, so to speak.
Well, I would say Slug has that same thing, but is it that popular? I mean,
I got one the other day. I always smile when I get a Geek Show says hey. Mm-hmm. And I was in a Greek restaurant getting some takeout food, and from way across the restaurant I just hear Geek Show says hey like that. I've gotten it in Los Angeles randomly on the street.
Really?
Mm-hmm. I think it's out there.
But how does that feel, knowing, like, not that you've touched a nerve, but the fact that you're now in the bloodstream, so to speak?
Awesomely awkward. It just, because every now and then you're like, what the, like, oh shit, I'm being watched. Like.
Yeah, somebody out there's listening.
Yeah. La Marita's.
Yeah, no, I love it. I mean, to me, it's cool, just it shows off, you know, the geek culture and what we're a part of in the family that's grown beyond just this, you know, what, six mics that sit around that table. It's bigger than pretty much any of us, but it's fun to be a part of.
It's a great thing to be a part of, because I needed an excuse to invite my friends over to sit in the basement and talk about Star Trek, and now I have it. It's very interesting to me. I don't know if we're all that popular. I do think that we're enjoyed by a handful spread across the world of very selective individuals who just love it. And I'm glad that they do. I'm glad that they do. And we'll continue to make them as long as we can.
So the show launched 2008. I think the blockbuster we could really discuss at that point was Iron Man. Since that point in time, and you've had a front row seat to it pretty much, you've had all this geekdom happened in short order. Oh, no, Iron Man and The Dark Knight.
Now, don't forget, we were doing Geek Show sporadically on the radio before that.
True. But I mean, like, in terms of the podcast, though, you've got this weekly show where you're offering commentary and opinions and basically either poking fun or praising what happens. And you've watched this just grow. How has it been for you guys to essentially have a voice in that?
Well, everybody has that to a certain extent. I mean, we all have our Facebook and Twitter accounts.
Everyone's a critic now.
Exactly. I just think that people enjoy hearing a bunch of guys who are kind of like their secret friends in a way, because really, who would publicly want to be friends with any of us?
Yeah. Right?
You agree with in some way, you know, and are saying things that you would like to say, but are afraid to say. Maybe that's it. If I think about it too much, then I get freaked out and hide in my room for days. I just like the fact that me and my friends getting together in the basement and we're all talking about the shit that we love and people like to listen in. I think that's just great. And maybe it is a private conversation, but you know what? It's our fault for putting it out there.
Right.
Because a lot of the shit gets pretty personal.
Yeah. I think that's what our listeners like, and that's what I enjoyed about the show before I was even on the show. It was just like that everybody's just so open and just like, this is how I feel.
And Jay learned in his first year that you're not really a member of the Geek Show family until you have an emotional breakdown on the podcast.
Yeah.
I think that is there. I think it's, you know, the listeners know that it is a family, and that, you know, as funny as we try to be and whatnot and entertaining, then there is a vulnerable side to it. Mm-hmm. So, you know, like I said, I think it's just a glimpse into our lives, but it's just six guys being a bunch of idiots.
It's six guys sitting in a basement drinking and talking about Star Trek.
People ask me
what it's about, and I say, it's that. Yeah. That's it.
I do love, I mean, like, and we are, you mentioned Iron Man, like, you know, it's only exploded since then in the culture, and that we live in a time where, you know, we're multi-million-dollar Guardians of the Galaxy film.
I mean, I'm so excited.
The topic of discussion is fucking endless now, you know, that everything's being done from A to Z. So it's really that we're never going to have nothing that we can't talk about.
But I just heard Neil Adams talking about why he's more impressed with what Marvel is doing than anything. Because at the end of the day, they don't own that many characters to make movies with. When we all said, you're doing Guardians of the Galaxy? Yeah. How cool is it that they had to reach into their trash bin? Because the X-Men are over there. Mm-hmm. The Spider-Man and the Spider-Man characters are all over there. Namor is over there. Man-Thing. Fantastic Four. All of those characters in those universes are over there. Yeah. You've got the Avengers. You've got characters that were Avengers. And that's a very small number. So what do? You reach into the trash bin. You pull out Guardians of the Galaxy. We all went, what?
What?
Yeah.
That was a shitty comic. I'm sorry, it was. And boom, look what they're doing with it.
Yeah.
That's why Marvel kicks fucking ass. Mm-hmm. Because they, A, have to and have succeeded with these minor characters.
Well, and, you know, like you said, and you're right, you know, minor characters, you know, Iron Man was not the A-list character that he is now.
He was C at best.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so you got that. Cap was always a little bit higher, but, you know, you know, and Hulk, but, you know, people knew him, but... You know, they've done, you know, and we're talking, again, next year we're going to have an Ant-Man movie.
I know.
Think about it, no Marvel character has really been bigger than Superman or Batman.
No, none of them.
I mean, name one.
Maybe the Hulk. He'd be close.
Yeah.
But that would be it.
Spider-Man.
Maybe. Yeah, we'll get maybe.
Well, and I'm talking about Marvel Studios specifically. Yeah. You know.
And it shows how afraid DC is that they experiment with their A-list
and
characters.
And they're afraid of Wonder Woman.
They experiment with the A-listers on TV.
Yes!
Like the Green Arrow for this decade.
Yeah, Booster Gold should be on the CW30, okay?
Exactly. There should be a Booster Gold series before. There should be a Flash movie and a Green Arrow movie.
Yeah, and a Booster and, like, Blue Beetle. And at this rate, Marvel will do a movie about D-Man. You know, like, they have the balls to do it.
Was he an Avenger? If he was, then they got him.
Sorry, we're turning this into a mini geek show.
Yeah, add liquor to that, and that's what the show is.
Well, that's what's in my bottle.
Yeah, what's this clear fluid? That's not vodka.
How would you say it's changed you and affected you? Because I know it's changed things for you, Carrie. Even though you had the radio show, it's brought you a bigger audience than you had before.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's given you tons of exposure, and you as well. Good. So how would you say it's affected you both professionally and personally since this started?
To me, it's brought in, you know, my whole, you know, my career that's shaping and whatnot is started with Slug. And then because of Slug and Sundance, I met Carrie, and that's where I got into Geek Show. And because of that, Jeff and I spawned Big Movie Mouth Off, which spawned KUTV finding me to be on there. So, like, that kind of stuff, you know, like, it's... It's opened doors that I never would have had before. So, you know, I can't say enough of what the show's done for my career. So.
It's helped mine immensely. I mean, I've just been a stand-up comic, and I only did it just to stop going to a therapist. And now, like, between the Geek Show and doing stand-up, I don't need a therapist nowadays. But it's helped me out personally because I'm better when I do the show. But it's also immensely helped my comedy career. I mean, the fact that I did a show, last Thursday, and it was practically sold out and full of Geek Show fans and just people just screaming, you know, Geek Show says hey and yelling out Dad Asto, and, you know, the fact I took up a Limerita on stage and, you know, the majority of the audience knew why I took it up there. I mean, like, just to set the ambiance. So it's really helped, and it's also allowed me to write the material that I've always kind of wanted to write, which was kind of more aiming towards more, and it's shifting towards more geek culture, because that's kind of just what I've been all my life. Just I've been more of the closet geek, outward jock, and so it's actually kind of reversing, so it's actually fun, so I love it.
Yeah. Jay's the only jock that I've ever loved.
Oh,
he's the only jock who's never threatened to beat me up.
This is the most intimate moment of this podcast.
It's getting sensual in this, in this small room.
Why do the lights dim?
Ooh, the effect on me, it has done all of those things that you have said. It also, I remember my dad always used to yell at me when I was a little kid for watching so much TV. And couldn't understand why I wanted to go see Star Wars every night, 36 nights in a row at the Hewish and Pace. And he got frustrated with me once because I wanted this remote-controlled R2-D2, you know. And he's like, is all that shit going to get you a job someday, son? What good is all that TV watching going to do? And I went, guess what, Dad? It's like 75% of my job.
Exactly.
All of that shit. 75% of my job. So it paid off. Guess I didn't need those welding classes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Didn't need those welding classes. And to my third grade teacher, Mrs. Burt, in Los Angeles, you said I was never going to be shit. Well, guess what? I'm telling dick jokes in Salt Lake City and getting drunk off Limeritas on a podcast.
Oh, Jay.
If you could go back and change anything about this show now that you've had 6 years worth of time behind it, is there anything you would have
done differently from the get-go or along the way? Or are you happy the way things have turned out as far
honestly, as... Honestly, what I would do is I would have not started it under corporate control. I would have done it all on my own. Just but not, I just didn't have the resources or the knowledge. I would have... had I seen down the road what was going to happen, I would have went, no, I want to own this fucker. You know, I don't want to have to ask permission to any of anybody. That being said, the corporate overlords have been very cool about, you know, the content of the show. They don't even think about it's not even on their radar.
Yeah, thank God for that.
They don't
care.
You
mean the new corporate overlords?
Old and new. Oh, right. Both of them. They've not said, you know, do you have to do so many dick jokes? Or you're awfully anti-religion, you know.
Can you do some more dick jokes?
They've never done that. They've never talked to me about the content of it at all. That's a plus and also a minus in that they're not inclined to help it in any way. That's the problem. If I'd have known, I would have just owned it on my own. Unfortunately, I live in a world where if I have an idea, it belongs to my corporate overlord anyway. See the comic book industry history for that. You know, the guys who create Superman don't own it. This podcast is just like Superman. That is a fair analogy. No, but it's a similar situation.
I think it's with the new owners, the video aspect. You know, I think that's a big, you know, part of it, that it brings it up, you know, to the next notch. And I think that that's what's going to happen with it. So I wish it happened sooner.
Yeah.
But, you know, we had it going for a little while, but then it just didn't really work out. But hopefully, you know, I think this next one, it'll improve. That's what I'd say.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I to piggyback off what Jimmy said, I definitely believe the visual aspect is something that needs to be shown because, frankly, we're a good-looking bunch of dudes. I mean, you know, you got Carrie's hat, so everybody wants to see what kind of hat he's going to wear, and Jimmy's hair, and Shannon wears cool hats, and then, you know, Tony, you got to see him when he does his little Arnold impression. So, I mean, you know, it's just like, hey, you know, some people don't know if I'm a black dude or not, so 90, I got to, you know, they can need to see that sometimes.
95% don't know you're black.
Exactly.
It's a mystery to most folks.
We need to.
He's black, they say?
Yeah. He's one of those. He's one of the good ones. I heard.
We'll rejoin that supersized interview with the Geek Show guys after we get through this week's weekly daily calendar, which we're tackling the week of August 12th through the 18th. Yes, mid-August. Unbelievable. As always, get yourself over to slugmag.com, scroll down to the bottom of that homepage, check out that calendar. There's always a bunch of goodies. When I looked at this week, I found all manner of music and other activities. So let's start with Tuesday, August 12th, Jenny Lewis at the Deep Hill. I am super excited for this. Of course, many of you might remember her from Rilo Kiley, her old band, but her solo albums have been, in my humble opinion, a little better than the Rilo Kiley stuff. She's got a new one now that's really solid. I've been listening to that one the last few days. Really excited for that show. And it's cool that she's moved on up to a place the size of the Depot in her solo career. Also that night over at Urban, for the rock and roll fans out there, he is legend. Maylene and the Sons of Disaster and Wilson are all joining up for a show at Urban. Wednesday, August 13th, speaking of big rock, Deer Tick, back again, one of the best live bands going in America these days. They're playing with T. Hardy Morris and the Hard Knocks at Urban Lounge. That is sure to be an excellent show. I've seen Deer Tick probably 5 times. Always rock solid, one of the great bands going. Thursday, August 14th, big Twilight Concert Series show with Beck headlining, Future Islands opening. Future Islands, serious buzz band this year. And Beck, of course, that's probably like a, long time effort, finally got him for Twilight Concert Series kind of guy. That'll be great. And if you're into more of the hard rock action, Soulfly headlining it in the venue there on Thursday the 14th. Friday, August 15th, it is Slug Localized with Koala Temple, Pentagram Crackers, and Dog Sweat. That's at Urban Lounge. Always just $5. Great way to catch up with some local tunes. Same night as Salt Lake Gallery Stroll, all over venues up and down Salt Lake City. Saturday the 16th, it's the Downtown Farmers Market at the Pioneer Park, of course. I've been a couple times this year. We're really hitting cruising speed in terms of great fruits and whatnot. And then the Happy Valley Derby Darlings has a showdown between the Sirens of Steel and the Daughters of Anarchy. That's at the Hive in Spanish Park, down in Utah County. And then on Sunday the 17th, we have God's Revolver and Cornered by Zombies playing along with the premiere of the film Gravy Train on Biscuit Wheels. That's at the Urban Lounge on Sunday night. You don't get a lot of awesome things on a Sunday night. That sounds like a fine show to get yourself out of the house. That is your weekly daily calendar for the week of August 12th to the 18th. Fire up Slug Mag. Check those listings all the time. There's always great new stuff being added. And you can add your own listings if you want. That's free. And for a mere $5 a month or $50 a year, you can add some links to your own listings.
I'm Rebecca.
I'm Danielle.
I'm Crystal.
And I'm Cherry.
And if you like your geek news with a bit of a twist, then you'll love
Hello, Sweetie.
Hello, Sweetie podcast brings you the latest and greatest geek news and information from an all-female panel.
We'll bring you the most recent information about movies, TV, comic books,
video games, roller derby, pop culture, and more. Subscribe on iTunes and like us on Facebook.
For your weekly dose of geek culture from a female perspective, tune in to
Hello, Sweetie.
Join both Plan B and Pygmalion Theaters, Gina Backhauer, as well as RDT, Ryrie Woodbury, and SB Dance Companies for the third annual Rose Exposed on August 23rd. All six companies will create and perform work that very day, celebrating the theme of home. 100% of this event's ticket sales will go to benefit the road home. For tickets, call 801-355-ARTS or visit arttix.org.
And now we continue with our extra long chit chat with the Geek Show podcast and our own Gavin Sheehan, already in progress.
Is there any area you wish the podcast would cover more that you don't?
I'm told that we don't talk about games enough.
Yeah. But I mean, I play video games.
Tony.
God almighty, I just bought a Wii U.
Gah.
I don't know why I did it. Mario Kart's fun, what can I say?
But I think it's the sign of what's going on. I think as what the mainstream media is giving us, that's kind of like when you go back and think about, you know, when this podcast started, it kind of came at the right time, and you just kind of go with what's generally going on in the geek world. And right now, it's not games, it's movies. It's movies, yeah. Comics, and Marvel, DC.
There's a lot going on in the game world, actually, but, you know, it's just, is there... Amongst the panelists, I think honestly it's like me and Tony who play the most.
Yeah, but and we do get in some video game talk toward the end of each episode.
Sure,
I would like to do more, but I don't have the time.
But I think Jay's on to something of like, yeah, it's a lot of movies on there. But I've noticed at least in the past like month, we've been talking a lot of television.
Yeah,
because television,
I've been trying.
They've amped their game up so much on television shows. So
yeah, I've been trying to push more TV and with Scott there, that helps well.
Well, back in the day, I mean, like I remember episodes where it'd only be Scott talking about it. Because we're like, I don't really watch a lot of television. But like now, I swear we're all watching way more than we used to.
Mm-hmm.
And I hate watching TV. And now I'm just like, oh man, I gotta watch this. Like, because it's really good.
When's the next episode of MasterChef? Come on.
America's top model.
I also get complaint letters that we're Marvel favoritists.
I can't
say that's true, honestly, well, because we do give DC their due when they do something good. It's just they fuck up so much.
Yeah. Show me a raccoon with a gun that's grabbing his crotch in DC.
I mean, there's a website called How Many Days Is It? I think it's called How Many Days Has It Been Since DC Made a Mistake or something like that. Yeah. It's a website dedicated to that. But as soon as DC starts hitting it, hey, this Flash pilot, great.
Yeah.
You're going to love it if you're a Flash fan.
I agree.
Now, if you're a Flash fan and you're nitpicking about the logo, shut the fuck up. Mm-hmm. You've got a Flash TV series. Shut up.
Yeah.
But think about, I mean, even in that Marvel sense, I mean, how many Marvel movies come out in the past 5 years compared to how many DC movies come out in the past?
True.
I mean, you've got Superman and Batman. Great. They've got everything else, you know. Mm-hmm. But again, DC just needs to step up their game. That's, you know, if you put out more, we'll talk about it more.
No, I'm excited about the Batman 66 series coming on DVD.
Blu-ray.
Yeah, you know, on Blu-ray in November. That's going to be very cool.
Is it commentary too, right?
Mm-hmm. It's a full Blu-ray set kind of deal. And so that's cool. But I'm going to buy an Xbox One as soon as that new Arkham game comes out.
Oh, Arkham Knight. Yeah, that looks good.
Because it's only on Xbox One and PS4.
Yeah.
Because the Batmobile alone was too big for a regular Xbox. It's going to be a huge game.
Yeah.
Like I said, as soon as DC starts stepping up, we're going to be first in line.
I do like DC. I mean, I love Green Lantern, actually. That's probably my biggest thing that I love. I think the whole Blackest Night thing was probably one of the coolest shits I've ever seen.
Another thing Neil Adams was saying when I heard him interviewed, and this is true, DC fucked up not making Jon Stewart the first Green Lantern. Here's why. How many kids of a young generation
know how
that's who Green Lantern is today?
Yeah.
They don't know Hal Jordan.
Yeah.
The old guys know Hal Jordan.
Yeah, we only know one Jordan. His name is Michael.
Yeah. We should talk Star Wars more, and we will.
Yeah.
Well, when they start, you know, besides Harrison getting crushed. And
people are upset because I don't report rumors. I don't like to bring up rumors on the show. I just won't unless it's from a confirmed source. Yeah, we're not going to be first with your story, but we'll have it right.
See, and I'm glad you said that, because I just had that conversation yesterday about online sites, you know, wanting to be first. You know, there's so much shit out there that's just not true or could be true, but you can't really confirm it. And then, you know, and I swear at least half of it, if not more, gets debunked. And
yeah. So I'm not interested in being first.
Yeah. Why waste your time on it?
So. I'd rather be factual than first.
Yeah.
You brought up criticism. One that's always been floating around, at least in local geek circles, is that it's an all-boys show.
Yeah.
There's been the occasional woman guest, but there's never been a permanent, I'd say, invite. Lola will come on occasion. You'll have other people come on. But there's never been a...
A permanent.
Yeah. So is that something you're looking for? Is it more of this... It's not something that's a prerequisite that you're worried about?
The hard time is finding, you know, the fit that we talked about, the swim of the sharks. Because I know a couple of girls who are incredibly qualified, but they just don't... swim with the sharks well.
Yeah.
So I would love to have them on, but they would just get eaten up.
Well,
they need to have that strong personality like Lola has, and she's not afraid to speak her mind, but she lives in LA, unfortunately.
Yeah.
We're looking around. We just need a strong personality.
I think that's Carrie's ability to see what does work with the show, you know. And I know who you're talking about, and they know their shit, you know, geek wise, but we've had people come on there and they're like, yeah, I'm excited to do it. And they get on there and they just kind of be quiet for a little while.
They freeze.
Yeah. You know, and that's fine. That's, you know, a lot of people would do the exact same thing, but you can't have somebody like that on regularly and just have them sit there and do nothing.
It's like sitting at a poker table. I mean, you have to, you know, I got to look at Shannon and see, like, I'll be looking at Carrie talk about this, and I'm just sitting there looking at Shannon waiting for him, because I'm like, okay, he's going to go. And then I look around. You got to look and see who's calling, who's raising, who's going to fold on that, who's sitting back.
It's perfect. You have to
look around, and honestly, when I was new into the whole foray, I didn't know what the hell I was doing. And I noticed when I started sitting catacorner across from Shannon, I was able to contribute better because I couldn't see Shannon, because Shannon and I, we both have the loudest voices on the show. And so there were times in the earlier episodes where it'd just be noise. And so until you just learn how to read that entire table and figure out who's going, and then you just listen to the topic and know, I'm like, all right, is this something that Scott knows well? Because when Scott talks, I shut the fuck up every time, because he's about to school me on something I don't know. So, and it's just, you just have to, I think that's just what it is. We just all know each other and just are able to go off each other's personality. If you can read a poker table, you can read the Geek Show.
Boom.
It's perfect. It's knowledge and rhythm.
Yeah.
I think, you know.
I got rhythm.
No, and like I said, there are a couple of there's one girl I have in mind in particular that I wish that when we had her on, that she would have been more participatory, because I think she would have just knocked it out of the park.
But
whether she was intimidated or not, I don't know. But that one, we can't play now. But you know, I'm always on the lookout, and I'm talking with people all the time. I would just say that if you're ever a guest on the Geek Show, just know that I'll do what I can, but I can't swim. I can't jump in and save you.
Well, you look at this show, and like, even beyond the 6 years that it's been going on, like, you know, you and Shannon have how many years history with each other?
Please.
You know, so you got somebody who's going to sit down with six guys who have an accumulated, you know, probably over 30, 40 years of friendship.
Yeah, it's my husband.
Yeah, you know what I mean? So like, yeah, and most instances, in just a normal social situation, that's going to be intimidating. So... to have a microphone and be like, okay, and by the way, we're going to record everything you say, so don't fuck up, you know, and try to be funny.
Well, and I've had regular panelists, like I said, who are no longer with us, who have had that same conversation with me. It's just like, I don't know where to jump in. And I'm like, look, it's not personal. It's just, that's just the rhythm. It's the way the game is being played. And it's not like we're excluding you. You need to play harder, you know.
If you are a guest on the show, you are already smarter than me and more qualified to be there. I will tell you this right now. I have no idea what I bring to the show. I know a little bit about not enough. And
you bring
sassy. I bring sassiness. So if you can match my sassiness and bring some of your classiness, then we can have some happiness. I'm around.
I'm getting Medea to come on. You're in fucking trouble.
You got Comic-Con coming up in September. Last time you guys had the room, this nice little packed oven of people. I don't know what you got planned. I would love to hope that you're in the grand ballroom, but what's the plan?
No, we're not in the grand ballroom. We are in a larger room.
I don't think they've said which room we're in.
They haven't said which room, but they said larger.
Yeah, it'll be enough. I think Comic-Con's been extremely supportive of us and the show.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we sincerely appreciate it. I mean, they've even got things planned out for Jeff that's going to be amazing. If we could pack 5,000 people in a room, I'd lose my mind.
I would.
But it's not, you know, I don't think we're at that degree yet.
I wish I had that delusion and confidence
right.
but, to think that we could.
No, I think we'll have one of the bigger rooms. I think we turn a lot of people away, but I think we'll get a room that can accommodate everybody and hopefully some new listeners and grow the family a little bit more.
And we may be doing some other things.
Yeah, stripping.
Well.
Cool.
Stuff that we've talked about
yeah.
with Comic-Con that mm-hmm. we're working on trying to make happen.
Yeah.
Some stuff that Shannon will be very involved with.
Yep.
I'll just hint that. And then Jay and I are talking about maybe getting the panelists to do a group project that we won't talk about now, but might happen.
More, and there will be more cosplaying for me. That's just fun. That shit is so damn fun. Like buying plastic and melt and putting it all together and making a cotton.
What would your friends in LA say about you?
I don't give a shit anymore. I rarely talk to people.
I can't tell you how many people came up to me and they're like, was that Jay from Geek Show?
I didn't judge the contest. I just did 5 minutes of warm-up or like of stand-up. And like, that was incredible because that was like a side thing because I remember you guys had things to do and I was doing, it was like 3,500 people in that grand ballroom. I didn't even know. And I come out with wings and shit and everyone's like, oh, I got it. It was just like, yeah, like, y'all want to hear some jokes? Like.
The Geek Show podcast will be recording live episodes at this year's Salt Lake Comic Con, taking place September 4th to the 6th at the Salt Palace in downtown Salt Lake City. To download episodes of their show and to find out more information on events and future panels from the Geek Show guys, visit them online at geekshowpodcast.com. Thank you for listening to Slug Soundwaves, and for all things Slug Magazine, visit slugmag.com. We're going to be talking about local beers again soon, all the great local beer news with Mike Riedel, our resident beer expert. We'd like to hear what you know and what brews you're particularly excited about right now in the local beer scene. Send us an email to soundwaves@slugmag.com. Hit us up on Twitter @SlugSoundwaves or on Facebook via facebook.com/slugsoundwaves. We want to know your info. This podcast was created by Slug Magazine and produced by Gavin Sheehan. The associate producers are Alexander Ortega, Genevieve Smith, and myself, Dan Nalen. The executive producer is Angela H. Brown. The theme was performed by Lindsay Heath and Mike Sasich. Main logo and art design is by Nicholas Dowd, and technical design is by Kate Colgan. Be sure to fire us up again next week. We'll be talking to the folks behind Avian Allure, as well as Utah Flying Trapeze.